The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, the author of the new book, Noble State, which we will speak at length of when we reach the King Charles III report. But first, headline, Wall Street Journal, within these hours. U.S. strike on Iran, among options being considered by President Trump. President meeting with top advisors, Situation Room officials say. Europe backs Israel against Iran despite anger over Gaza, says a subhead. Oil tankers collide near UAE as Israel-Iran conflict disrupts shipping. There are more headlines. They're all alarming. They're all pointing to the campaign launched last week by Israel to destroy the suspect nuclear weapons program, but mostly to decapitate not only the military, but also the scientific community that was part of the Ahmad plan to weaponize the uranium ore that is being processed by centrifuges, some of which have been destroyed in the initial attacks at Parchin, Isfahan, and Natanz, none of which have been destroyed at the Big Mountain Fordo, and that is said to be the out of reach of the IAF and for the Americans. However, that's war fighting, and we will watch it for days or weeks. We don't know, but I'm interested to draw out Gregory Copley, my colleague, on the day after. You will recall that the U.S. has not been successful day after in Afghanistan, hence the Taliban moved back in Iraq, hence Iraq became a client state of Iran, fragmenting the nation into Kurds in the north and Shia in the south and Sunni in the west and Iran everywhere. So are we looking at another situation where the U.S. is going to impose its will, or Israel and the U.S. are going to impose their will and their cash, spend many years of fighting in some internecine fashion, and then abandon all hope? Gregory, I want to believe that Iran is different, but this is a much larger nation. This is a nation of sophisticated intellectual life. This is a nation with a diaspora that's vast in Europe and not unknown in America. So it is not what we would have to say was the agricultural base of Afghanistan or even the oil-rich but very undeveloped Iraq. This is a premier nation that dates itself back thousands of years. So how do you anticipate a day after, presuming this regime either flees or falls to the bombs?
Well, we've had governments in Iran fall before in a revolutionary fashion, and they've been replaced. In fact, the previous administration in Iran, the Pahlavi dynasty, came in at the after a fairly long gap after the collapse of the earlier monarchy. So we've seen this before. This time, however, it's much more pervasive. They brought the country into disrepute, both internationally and in its own among its own people. So the question is, will the United States and Israel make a foolhardy attempt to dominate and occupy a post-clerical Iran? The Iranians need this success for themselves. The United States made the mistake when the Berlin Wall fell of saying that it had conquered the Soviet Union. In fact, the Iranian nationalists were the ones who finally did the job and removed the communists there. And even in 1952-53, with the Mossadegh, the counter coup against Prime Minister or former Prime Minister Mossadegh, that was claimed as a success by the United States, which took it away from the Iranians who actually were the ones who overthrew Mossadegh. Right now, the great success for Israel, for the United States, and for Iran, and for the world, in a sense, would be if the Iranian people could be empowered and encouraged to take this opportunity to seize back control. That would then require that no foreign troops are in there attempting to impose order and discipline and quell unrest. That's going to be critical. The problem is that there has not been a leadership emerging in the diaspora or domestically, largely because of the success of the clerics' counterinsurgency and counterintelligence programs. The Israelis now, Bibi Netanyahu has been talking about the former crown or the crown prince of the Pahlavi dynasty, Reza, who's basically based in the United States, as being a potential leader. Well, the Iranians don't believe that. The Iranians are angry that Reza has shown no great leadership capability. On the one hand, he has for decades taken money from the Israeli government, from the Saudi government, and from the CIA. So they don't believe that he is the true Iranian patriot who has suffered to lead his people back from the brink of the clerical regime. So the problem is, how is Iran going to emerge from this? We will see leadership groups emerge domestically. This has been the case with Iran all along. The leaders never show themselves until the last moment, because if you can see a leader 6 months in advance, that generally means he's going to be killed before the time is ripe. So we're going to see something emerge. The U.S. and Israel are going to have to be very delicate about this. They have to remember that a preserved Iran is more beneficial to not only the Iranians, but to the West in general, because it offers the possibility of a friendship with the West, which enables overland traffic with Central Asia. And Central Asia, coupled with Iran at this stage, provide the great wedge to keep China and away from Russia, for example. So this is, if this could be pro-Western, or then the gifts, the strategic gifts of that are unfathomable, much more than they were even when Nixon kept the Saudis and the Iranians happy despite their mutual opposition to each other. So it's a delicate time. It's very important that President Trump stops Bibi from just wanting to destroy things. It's very important, too, that the United States is not the one which is responsible for killing Khamenei. A lot of the clerics are leaving the country, and I think Khamenei would, too, if given the opportunity. I think the Russians will give them a safe haven. China is not a factor in this at this stage. So what we have to see is, how do you approach this with caution? How do we encourage the upsurge of the Iranian civil population? Netanyahu has said pointedly that he wants that to happen, but he then tends to overreach and say that they need to kill Khamenei, which is true. The nuclear weapons are insignificant because they're not usable by Iran or anybody else. The real thing is you remove the threat by removing or decapitating the clerical leadership and restoring Iran to its historical foundation. And that's generally been a monarchy with a foot in also in the military camp and a foot in the clerical camp, but very much a socially based social contract in the country, which they have not had under the clerics. Under the clerics, there was no social contract with the people.
I mentioned that some of our colleagues have said Russia's intention is to restore the ethnic diversity of Iran. It is not, it's maybe just 50% Farsi speaking. All around the edges are Arabs, Azeris, and other tribes of the Middle East. And to see Iran as a power in the Middle East, that would please Moscow. Would that also please Washington?
It should do. And in fact, there's no reason that you can't come to a modus vivendi which enables the U.S. and Moscow and Iran and Israel, for that matter, to have mutually amicable relationships with Tehran. So that's very possible. I think the idea of this ethnic division has failed. It failed in Ethiopia, for example. It's good for foreigners to divide and conquer. It's not good for Iran to be divided. And although the primary language is Farsi only in 50-60% of the population, the reality is that Farsi is the lingua franca of the entire country, including the Armenian-speaking parts, the Kurdish-speaking parts, and the Arabic-speaking parts in Khuzestan and the like. In fact, combining that sense of Persian history, Persian destiny, Persian dignity, which the Shah was able to bring together, that's critical. The same way in Ethiopia, as the emperor combined 80 or so ethnic groups into a single Amharic-speaking mass to create a sense of the Solomonic multi-thousand-year history.
But Gregory, the temptation is that the U.S. and Israel, because they have the money and the time, will seek to influence the decision-making in Tehran. Is there a way to avoid that, or is that just the fate of empires?
Well, I mean, unfortunately, the United States and Israel are very, very short-term thinkers. They believe that resolving an issue is done kinetically rather than socially. They see the social breakup, if you like, of Iran as being something which is done at the point of a gun. And this can be dangerous. It's much harder to put things back together again. And there is this feeling in Israel and in the United States that it's not enough for them to succeed. All their friends must fail. You know, there's this, you know, they have to be not just primus inter pares, they have to be unquestionable leaders in the region. And that's very fragile, very dangerous, very short term. It's not as historically and civilizationally nuanced as it should be. And I think getting back to restoring, if you like, the Persian culture throughout Central Asia would overcome some of the rabid short-term neo-Ottomanist thinking of Turkey, for example.
It is the greater Middle East. It is Central Asia. It is our heritage. All of our heritages come out of here. 1,000 years ago, the stories of the Greeks, the other side of that was the Persians. So it's fun to consider. It's the same Persian dignity, same thing, same artwork, same people. And now they're under attack. Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, returning to our favorite segment of the week, King Charles III Report, although there is an ironic twist here called No Kings.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.